Thomas Atkinson is in the studio with me tonight. He's an author and a playwright and current 2014 Ohio Arts Council Individual Excellence Award winner. He's received two Pushcart Prize nominations, and his work has been published in The Sun, The Indiana Review, and Tampa Review. His play, Dancing Turtle, won the annual Samuel French Off-Off-Broadway Festival and will appear in two anthologies this year. Tonight, we're going to talk about two of Tom's works. One is Tikimon and the other is Scrap. Tom, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Hi, Barbara. It's nice to be here.
Good to see you. Let's start with you reading the opening paragraph of Tikimon, please.
I'd be delighted to. This is chapter one, and it's called The Haitians. A few months back, when Tammy first came down here to Florida, I had a hard time figuring out what to do with her when I went to work. Before he disappeared, her dad stuck her on a bus up in Ohio without bothering to find out how Missy's sentencing went. He's a Franklin, from the meth and incest part of that state, and I never heard Missy say his last name without adding trash to it, like Franklin Trash might actually be his name. Maybe he thought the judge would take her condition into account. No such luck. She's doing a 2-year bit up at Lowell Correctional in Ocala. 3 hots and a cot and free medical, which is better than us most days. I'm stuck here, squatting in a condo me and Missy shared, trying to take care of her daughter from a marriage gone bad years before we met.
I'm going to skip to the overview with you, if you'll allow me to, and ask what inspired this novel.
Well, I was very interested in the idea of sort of surrogacy, families that come about almost by accident, but there's a fierce loyalty there among the members of those families. They're still taking care of each other with whatever limited tools they have in their little toolbox.
I think it seems like an innate need, doesn't it, to form community of some kind, whether we call it family or have some other name for it.
Yeah, the genesis of this novel is that my wife and I were taking a vacation in Florida, and there was a guy who was taking care of a girl who obviously wasn't his daughter, but was some relation. You couldn't really tell what the relationship was. But he was very dedicated to her and to, you know, sort of doing what she wanted to do and what he thought she needed to do. And it was a very interesting dynamic to watch.
And that little episode you just described, did that inspire Scrap, the short story that you're going to read from?
Scrap was inspired by a couple of different events. The way my mind works when it comes to writing is God's own mystery. Things make connections, and I'm not quite sure how they make connections, and then I'll wake up at 3 in the morning and the connection will have been made, and, you know, I jot it down on little post-it notes and then try and make sense of it when I wake up in the morning. Would you like me to read from Scrap now?
Yes, please do.
Scrap. We were already in the next little town, north up toward Chillicothe, and all we had for our troubles was a puke green refrigerator from back in the 70s somebody'd managed to drag out to the curb. And I just wrestled a shopping cart out of the dumpster behind a Dollar General, one of the old wire ones from back before they went to that yellow plastic. This one looked like maybe an old lady pinned it up against a light post with her Buick. After I threw it in the bed of my pickup and pulled out of the parking lot, I slowed down to look at a standing dead oak sticking up high above the tree line behind a tumble-down house. It was filled with more buzzards than I'd ever seen in one place, maybe 20 or more, all perched with their black wings spread wide, catching the early morning sun. I pointed and said, "Look at the birdies." But Ruby Lynn heard him before I did, pointing with her sippy cup and flipping her legs against the booster seat strapped down next to me. A short, heavy guy was struggling through the overgrown front yard of that tumble-down house, waving at me, yelling, "Hey, junk man! Hey, junk man!" The legs of his sagging dungarees were wet from dew-damp grass gone to seed. Ruby Lynn's my granddaughter, and her mom's in a rehab over in Cincinnati. At least she still was last Saturday when we went to visit. Betty clips two plastic red ribbons in Ruby Lynn's blonde hair every morning before she goes off to work at Wally World, and it makes her look just like the little girl in that old Christmas TV show about the Grinch. We bought the booster seat after her mom sold the first one for drugs, and it's got two cup holders and nicer armrests than my truck. I made a U-turn and pulled into the gravel drive next to an old Suburban. This side of the house was covered up with split firewood, and all the pieces along the bottom had little shelves of fungus. We watched him puffing up to the truck, and Ruby Lynn turned her left hand palm up with its thick pink pad of scar tissue and said, "Who dat?" Like I might know the guy, or she still thinks I know everybody in the world because she just doesn't know how big the world is yet, not even our little crappy corner of it.
Thank you, Tom. In your biographical information, it was interesting and impressive to read that you've received Ohio Arts Council grants in three different writing disciplines. So I was thinking about how wonderful it is to have that agility, if you will, that ability to jump from one genre to another. But that also means that you have things out there waiting to be published. That's the case with Tiki Mon right now. Scrap actually is in the process of being published. What goes on for you behind the scenes while you're in this waiting period? What's the writer's life like in that way?
The timeline can be very frustrating. From the time you send a short story off until you hear back from them can be, 8 months. From the time you get a short story accepted until it gets published can be a year. So you have to kind of move on and do other things. Every literary journal and magazine has their own set of really arcane rules that they work by, and there are no two that are the same. And I have a whiteboard up in my office that's got like all the different contests that I've entered and all of the different places that I've sent things off to, and that helps me keep track of things.
Well, meanwhile, you did get some really wonderful feedback about the Burnt Hills article, wasn't it, that you found was being used?
Yes, Grimace and the Burnt Black Hills. I guess you'd say that's my most successful story to date. That also won an Ohio Arts Council Individual Artist Award, and it received two Pushcart Prize nominations. And then I found out that it was being taught out in California in English 11 and 12 AP classes in one of the public high schools out in San Diego. And I contacted the teachers that were doing that. And I Skyped with four different classes about the story, which was really exciting. Because, especially a fiction writer, you'd never have the luxury of sitting next to somebody when they're reading your story to watch them react to it. And Scrap is also being taught, and there's a writing teacher that teaches out in New Mexico that read Scrap very early on and just loved it, and she teaches that in her class. I don't know why. There's something about it being taught that gives it more legitimacy than being published, and I'm not sure why that is.
I want to thank you so much for visiting with us tonight. Been delightful to talk with you.
Barbara, thank you for having me.
I've been talking with Thomas Atkinson about his newest novel, Tiki Mon, and his current Scrap, which is a short story that is being published as we speak. For more information, you can go to wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.